10:35, Lucky Pierre time.
Let's turn on. By that, I mean the power of the mind.
Hello and welcome to the Bookhouse Boys. I'm Matt Howell.
I'm Jason Farrell.
I'm Dave Aloisi.
And you are joining us for our momentous last mini episode of our run, which, if you've been paying attention, is the episodes where we don't have a specific book to talk about. We just catch up with each other about what else we're reading. Literature, prose, poetry, comics, whatever else. Sometimes even non-literature stuff. And just shoot the shit. And so...
And what, pray tell, Matt, do you mean by the momentous last episode for those people who listen and don't go to the forum, of which there are many?
Oh, that's right. Hi, everybody out there.
Hi, and so long.
Just kind of slip that in there.
Should I take that again?
No, I like
no.
this.
Okay, this is better. Yeah. Hi, everybody who listens and doesn't go to the Goodreads page. We have all kind of decided to retire the show. We had a good 3+ year run, had some great times, and we've decided to let the let this thing die a natural death and let it go. So if you're going to be missing us, which I think you will, you have two things going for you. The first thing is that we are reading The Sound and the Fury by the great William Faulkner for this month's book, so we'll be discussing that as our official final episode. The second piece of good news is that you can go to goodreads.com and click on the Groups tab and search for the Bookhouse Boys, and we're still going to be around. We'll still be talking about stuff we're reading, all kinds of stuff, just chit in the chat, miscellanea, whatever else. So we're still around. It's just the podcast is going away.
Yeah.
And I work fast. I think I'll be doing a new podcast.
Wow.
You whore.
Matt already does another podcast, which he left us for them. And, yeah, guy named Joey Cruz, he's a longtime member of the 11 o'clock forum. You guys might remember him. Never a Wanderer, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We both like movies, but we don't like the same movies. We have had a few discussions in the past about especially big-budget, effects-driven action and superhero and sci-fi films in particular.
Pacific Rim.
Joey is the guy who likes Avatar and Matrix and Man of Steel and Spider-Man 3 and any number of other things that I don't.
Huh. Or and nobody did.
In some cases, he's in the minority.
Dave, yeah. Millions of people like them.
In other cases, I'm in the minority. But
no, yeah. I'm not talking about big budget in general. I'm talking about those movies that he just listed.
And there are many
he
more.
He just listed like some of the most paying movies. Yeah, you know, the Star Wars prequels. And
yeah, but he said Avatar. I'm sure that's one of the most successful films financially.
Oh, I was thinking of that Airbender one.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, I am the blue skin alien one.
Oh, okay.
But he, the great thing about Joey is that he is very smart and very articulate about how he defends crap. I'm just going to go ahead and say. He's a guy that doesn't – he's not offended by people disagreeing with him. A lot of times that he goes into it because he knows he's disagreeing with people and he wants to defend it, you know, or whatever. So I just kind of always – I've actually had – you know, I don't want to sound condescending, but I've had a fascination – for his ability to very intelligently explain why he likes these movies that I just think are terrible. And you know, he can't convince me that they're good, but if anybody could, it was him. So the idea of this podcast is basically that we're going to pick some of these movies and possibly argue them out, but it's not predicated on us disagreeing. I just think it's going to happen a lot because we're going to pick movies like that to do. So
what's
it sounds like you're both natural contrarians. So,
so do you have a projected podcast length?
No.
Just curious. As you guys know, I'm always obsessed with how long the runtime is on shows. So just curious.
I don't know.
I'll be listening. I mean, don't worry about that. But I'm just, is it like an hour and a half, 2 hours? Are we talking like snappy 30, 45 minutes?
Well, I'm gonna be asking you for some help because it sounds like I'm gonna need to be the one to record it.
Oh, that'd be no
which
problem.
Is something I've never done before. I'm not so much afraid of recording it, but I don't have any experience with any other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Yeah. You got a friend, and if a pickled turd like me can do it, I can teach you how to do it.
Okay. So I will. Yeah, I will avail myself of that, but. It kind of goes some way to also answering your question, because
what was my question?
We can both talk, and I have a feeling that left to our own devices, the show won't be that short. But depending on how much work it is and how well I take to the whole process of it,
you're not going
to
pull at that thread.
I might edit it more.
All right, good luck.
We'll see.
Down that path lies madness. I just tell you that much.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not really investing a lot of hope in that.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So how are you going to pick – I don't want to make this a plug for your show because it sounds like so how are you going to pick –
sounds like what? So, we'll finish that sentence.
Well, I mean, it's nice we're all talking about what we're doing, but it's like if Matt LeBlanc spent the last hour of Friends talking about his new spinoff. But anyway – which lasted whatever, 10 episodes. But
that he was on an attempted spinoff for Married with the Children? With his
I did not.
TV dad.
I remember that, yeah.
It was really terrible.
Yeah.
How are we going to pick the films?
Yeah, then we'll move on to...
So far, that hasn't been hard. We threw out a bunch of ideas already, and we're like, yeah,
okay,
that one. So I was thinking we were going to do new ones, but we're both broke as fuck. So we may still do some new ones, because I think we're both going to see Godzilla, for example. But we were already thinking of a bunch of old ones that we could do, like Alien 3 and the aforementioned Avatar, which I've actually never seen.
That's why I remember that dude. He's the one guy who liked Alien 3.
So who?
That's
who,
right.
Who directed this new Godzilla?
I have no idea.
Why is everyone excited about it? I mean, besides Bryan Cranston, I do not see. Oh, they've tried to fucking do this thing several times in a Western version, and it's just. Am I the only person that thinks digital shit getting smashed is boring?
Wow, when you Google Godzilla IMDb, you get the IMDb thing, like the it's got the year and IMDb and the subtitle thing, but then underneath it is like where it's supposed to cut off the beginning of the synopsis. It says, when a cure is found to treat mutations, lines are drawn amongst the X-Men, led by Professor Charles Xavier. I don't know. I just find that fascinating.
Okay. So
that's really what it's about. I want to find out who directs this now. Okay. Gareth Edwards.
Oh.
You know, Gareth Edwards.
Sure. He was from The Office UK. Hey, can we add someone in?
Oh, sure, he directed Monsters.
That's right, he did. So we have a friend coming in right now.
That's more interesting.
Do we have something to say to him? No, let's make him do it. He'll do the work.
Yeah, let's make him do it.
Let's see if we can hit a real big trough this episode. Okay, here comes Devin Bruce. This is our live.
Let's see if he... Oh, what happened to him, Jim? We'll see if he has a podcast he wants to plug. Actually, Devin does.
Devin.
You're terrible at this, man.
Devin says he's connected.
Can you hear me?
Did you spill something?
Good.
I think you were muted there for a minute.
You have scotch crotch?
Scotch crotch? Unless you count not having enough scotch as being a problem.
No, scotch crotch.
Always, right? Scotch crotch.
Oh, no.
Okay,
no,
good. How are you doing, man?
I am doing well. How are you guys?
We're having a good old time. Raggedy ass intro to the show,
Yeah.
Typical.
We weren't going to fix this shit and then give it up.
But now that you're
You don't spend $50K on a new house or on your house and then sell it, dude.
So I figure piece of shit. We thought we'd just bring you in the conversation. It's like we have no direction, no whatever. So let's get Devin on and he'll, I don't know, like it'll be like the last episode of, you know, when Johnny Carson was on, like sing some Bette Midler song to us and we'll.
Or a roast. I wanted
choke back
to know,
some tears. No.
I wanted to know what the.
Yeah,
I know you shake your fist, you know, at podcasts that you listen to.
Yes, shake your fist at us verbally.
Yeah, what's the stupidest thing that Matt ever said?
Piss on our graves.
It's the most offensive thing that Matt ever said to me.
The stupidest thing that Matt ever said. That's hard.
Yeah, no shit.
I know.
I'm going to give you a minute to digest that.
It's like a river that never comes to shore. I actually don't know the words.
Okay, well,
that was pretty good.
I just finished. Yeah. So,
making them up.
I just finished. I got to clean all this up.
Can you sing Yesterday now? We'll have you.
Probably.
We already decided we don't like that song, but.
Who decided that?
Matt and I.
All right.
It's okay. I like Marvin Gaye's cover of it, actually.
Oh. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Friend, get off this call. When, I mean, not, you know, not now, but like when you do, then get on the YouTube and listen to that and just crank it.
I will. I love Marvin Gaye.
When did Marvin Gaye die?
1982?
Oh, that late?
83? 84, maybe?
He was 83.
That was before that for some reason. So what's going on, Devin?
Talk to us.
I don't know. Not much. In real life, work is getting super busy, but that is boring and not book related at all. I read a really great book. I was gonna post about it on Goodreads, and then
You can do it now.
Have you guys read Megan Abbott? Or heard of Megan Abbott?
This is the author?
Is that an author or the book?
She's the author.
Okay. Have not.
She is a hard-boiled crime writer. And she's a big noir fan. She's taught at New York University. She's got a PhD in English literature. And she's a crime writer. And in 2012, she wrote a book called Dare Me, which is a hard-boiled noir story with cheerleaders.
So it's what's that movie called with Joseph Gordon-Levitt? Brick.
Yeah, it is a little bit like Brick, yeah.
Dave's gritting his teeth right now.
Okay, but it's better than Brick, Dave.
Okay. Oh, good. It would have to be.
If you put him in a boarding house, he's all for it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. If it's got like teenage girl issues and gossiping and stuff.
Yeah, it. I mean, it reads like that sparse James Ellroy kind of dialogue every once in a while. Like it opens up really, really sparse narration. It's about the main character is I think she's a high school. I don't know what they're called in the United States. 1 year before graduating,
junior.
So she's, I guess, a junior, and she's on the cheerleading team, and she's like the second in command. Her best friend's been like the captain of the cheerleading team since basically they started cheerleading. And a new cheerleading coach comes in, and alliances start getting tested, and then somebody dies. And
are you sure this isn't an episode of Glee?
No. Oh God. Oh God. No,
this sounds entertaining.
Yeah, far less music.
Oh well.
I watched 5 minutes of Glee,
but also far less overdoses.
Oh, that's fair.
So how deep into this are you?
Oh, I finished it. I took it out of the library last Tuesday, and I finished it the day after.
So you're a fan.
Yeah, big fan. Really, really, really liked it. I'm rereading it right now, and I just took another one of the books out of the library.
Okay. How many has she written?
Rereading it.
Yeah, a reread. It's a rare reread. She's written, I think, five. Her new book is called Fever, and it comes out, I think, sometime this year. I believe it's a 2014 release. Yeah, I really, really liked it. I found out about it because in the back of do you guys read Fatale by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips?
No, I want to.
I read it in an issue.
Yeah,
of it.
I've been meaning to.
It's really good. I still think Criminal is better, but Fatale is really good. If you get him in the singles, there's back matter that they don't collect in the trades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brubaker's always been big on that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
He got her.
Yeah, we had that discussion before. Matt Kent was written out of your will because of that.
No, that's okay. In he gets people to write for Criminal. There were like 2-page essays on like crime fiction, and in Fatale, there are 2-page essays on like horror fiction or other like creepy genres and stuff. And he got her to write an essay in the back of an issue of Fatale, and plugged that particular book. And he said, "It's cheerleader noir. Come on, how aren't you reading it?" And I went, "Yes, I will go read it."
Okay.
And yeah, I really, really liked it.
This isn't necessarily that same kind of genre, but Devin, have you ever read King Dork? It's by Frank Portman. He was a member of the band The Mr. T Experience.
Oh, no, I have not read it.
Okay. You should check that out. It's technically a young adult novel, but I don't know. I think it's kind of a little more general than that. But the covers look like a defaced classic Catcher in the Rye cover where the title's scratched out and King Dork is written. It's about this character who's a sophomore in high school, and his dad was a police officer who was killed, and his mother's remarried, and he's going through like some files, and he starts like kind of creating this mystery in his mind. You don't know whether it's real or not, and but it's also this kind of coming of age, you know, awkward stuff, and he's in a band in high school, and it's all very tongue in cheek and smarty and clever, and it's a blast. I think they're making a movie of it, so you should probably get the book and read it before they ruin it.
Okay.
Oh. The film rights were optioned to Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, Paramount Vantage. So it should be coming out.
But the same, like, six people buy everything.
I know.
Everything.
Anyway, King Dork is a great read, and I recommend it.
Isn't he the same guy? No, it was, what's that other guy? He's basically the same guy, though.
Same guy as Frank Portman?
No. Same guy as Will Ferrell.
Adam McKay?
No. No, the other it's a different group of comedy people. The guy with the little fro and the I am totally blanking on his name and everybody's name that's related to him. It's the Danny McBride, James Franco group. But I can't remember.
Seth Rogen.
Oh.
Yeah, they have the preacher rights.
I still don't get it.
I don't really get Seth Rogen either.
Maybe I grew up on Cary Grant and I'm all fucked up in the head, but I just if you would have told me when I was a kid, show me a picture of Seth Rogen and said, "This is a leading man." When you're an adult, I'd be like, "Yeah, I'm outie. Let's take a bunch of mini thins."
Yeah, apparently there was an article that was linking to an interview that he was doing about that new movie that he's in.
Oh,
and I guess he wrote the script too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apparently in the first draft, the wife was just this one-dimensional, whiny, shrew character.
Oh.
And his wife looked at the script and went, "What are you doing? Like, why can't she be cool and awesome? I'm cool and awesome. We have a great relationship." And he went, "You are absolutely
really?
Right.
Oh, really? Because that's what I read about that movie is that that's like the centerpiece of the movie is that he and his wife are this great team. And are equal to each other, and that's like the whole point of the movie. So what was the point of the movie before that?
So he wrote a Fart Academy type movie or whatever the fuck, and then his wife came along and punched it up and made it actually watchable.
Yeah,
and
I think it was
blockbuster to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, it happens, you know. I mean, in the original Aliens, Ripley wasn't a woman.
Yeah.
Good point. So is this related at all to Neighbors with Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd?
Oh.
Oh.
No?
Oh,
probably
so.
Not.
Okay.
I don't think they made up the idea of the neighbor.
No, it's just it was called Neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't just name it something else. This is one of my major Neighbors gripes too. Right now is like, you have the goddamned internet at your disposal. So when you're naming your band, the least you could do is get on fucking Google and type in the fucking fuckface hard-ons band and see if anybody else took it. Oh, yep, somebody in Massachusetts has it. Let's make another shitty name instead.
You know, thank you. You just reminded me I do have one other thing to plug, and I will keep it short. But I'm also starting a band called The Beatles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See? There's a fucking band called Pond coming out right now. Uh-huh. It's like, I know Pond wasn't huge, but they were part of the grunge, like, sub-pop.
I've never even
heard
of Pond.
They had a pretty big hit college radio single, a couple of them. Agatha was their biggest one. But, I mean, it's like, you can't just go online and say...
If it's a one-word name that is a normal thing that exists in nature, and you were not at all popular, then that doesn't qualify.
Okay.
That doesn't work.
I guess. It just seems lazy to me.
Yeah. They like the sound of it. And they like pawns. Yeah. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Do a fucking Google search. It takes literally... They tell you how fucking long the search takes. It's like 0.002784776 seconds.
But then how long... Like, what level of notoriety does the band need to have before it is acceptable that you take that band's name?
I don't know.
Because...
Maybe if Nirvana were signed to your label or higher.
But Nirvana wasn't the first band to have that name.
That's a good point.
I think he just got you.
As I say in
sometimes it's
Canada,
not the first
touche.
One that becomes popular. Hey, we should bring...
That's only in Quebec, Matt.
Only in Quebec. Should bring Jim on before it gets too much later. He's in North Carolina.
Ooh.
Is he?
Yeah.
Will I understand him?
Something like that.
I think the problem
we'll have to see. We'll translate. Yeah.
I think Dave will help.
Yeah, I speak fluent South.
There you go.
Southeast.
I'm excited. I don't think I've ever talked to Jim with my voice before.
I don't think we've ever had five people on.
Jim.
Yeah, we have.
Jim, are you there?
I am.
Yay!
Jim,
you are
on with the Bookhouse Boys and with Devin.
Get out of here.
Dr. Teeth.
Who's also a Bookhouse Boy, as you are yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Hey, Hillary. What's going on, Jim?
Hey!
Hi.
Doing great.
Don't be nervous. There was a weird voice change in there.
Who's nervous? That was a Jerry Lewis impression.
Yeah, that was it.
So Devin didn't want to insult us, but can you insult us?
Yeah, some kind of roast material.
Do you have some terrible moments?
What is this, Comedy Central? You can't just put people on a spot for a roast.
To be fair, I sang you a song.
I know.
That's true.
And I recorded it.
It was touching.
I can't wait to hear it.
If I can bring it down for a second, that song was a common song that my dad sang and that it was performed at his funeral. Does it make you feel better?
Wow.
I feel great now.
That's true, but I still appreciated the sound.
Don't worry. I feel more like shit, Devin, because I was like Johnny thinking about being on the golf course while you were dying.
Dave, let's open the floor up. Why are you such an asshole? Jim, go.
Well, he's Southern.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So he lacks that West Coast easygoing thing I have.
Did I get that right, by the way, Jim? Where do you live?
Also manners.
I live in North Carolina.
Okay, I did get that right.
Yeah. Yeah. New Yorker by birth, though.
Yeah.
Oh
that's never... right. So your vote never counts.
I haven't gotten the hang of it.
Yeah.
So what are you reading, man?
If
you're not going to roast us, you got to talk about books.
Well... Matt and I actually just both finished the fifth Beatle in the last couple weeks.
That's true.
That was pretty interesting. And I know Dave is interested in reading it.
Yes.
Yeah. I liked it a lot. The art is gorgeous. I like the presentation. It's a big, oversized hardcover.
Yeah.
And, you know, learned a lot about Brian Epstein.
Epstein.
Epstein was his preferred pronunciation.
Okay.
Which that I like that they made a point of actually putting that in the book. Like in
yes,
the first
that's right.
chapter.
Yeah.
Like, see, so he corrects someone.
It wasn't a criticism, but you, Matt, you said that you expected it to be more about something.
I would think, just considering the feat of, you know, what he's famous for, I would think that how he actually broke the Beatles and how the nuts and bolts of his management, I guess, I was expecting a little more business.
And more, it was more about the person.
It is entirely about the person, I think.
Entirely about the person. So did that strike you that way at all, Jim, or you?
Well, he was pretty tireless, pretty driven. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the thing that he most wanted to do. You know, find somebody and break them big. It seems like he didn't even realize he wanted to do that until he heard the Beatles in the cavern.
And he never.
And then it just became
like
sort of obsessed
with
it.
Other people need to hear these guys.
Yeah, but I mean, like, right. Yeah, and like at each point in the story, like he would say they're going to be bigger than Elvis, and everyone would laugh, and then they get bigger than Elvis, and they say we're going to become worldwide,
yep.
And then like he'd do that, like, and he was never satisfied because he was
bigger than Jesus.
He was an unhappy person.
He was one that came out.
Right.
But they did.
And and it wasn't just the Beatles. He was pursuing several other acts.
Yeah, Phil and
Jay
Kramer.
I've never heard.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Nirvana.
Yeah.
Nirvana, yeah.
The original Nirvana.
The original Nirvana. Which was they played the accordion.
Has anyone ever read Epstein's autobiography?
Epstein,
sorry.
Which is the title of the autobiography. Stop calling me Epstein.
No, I forget what it's called. It's like From the Lowest Rung or Climbing the Ladder of Something.
It was
a
cellar full of noise.
Oh, is that what it's called? Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay.
So professional.
Oh.
Way to go. Way to leave everybody with a great last impression.
Patch him in. Put him on speaker. Anybody calls tonight, they're on the show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I am home, Mom. I'm doing a podcast. Can I call you later? Okay,
she
I love you.
She likes
She's
books.
A member of the group.
Bye.
What are you reading?
She, this no, fuck no. Are you kidding me? She would talk for 45 minutes. Every time she calls, she tells me what she's reading for 45 minutes.
I'm sure
minutes.
You have the ability to mute her if you need to.
Yeah, I could.
I say we call her the seventh book counselor.
She's not going to listen to this, is she?
She only listens when it's book-specific episodes.
So, okay. No.
So, but, you know, she's listened to more than my mom has. I mean, my wife.
Is Brenda awake?
I'm not going to psychoanalyze that for...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a bit of a Freudian slip.
No.
Oh, no, I do it all the time. I call my mom honey. It's a whole fucking hornet's nest of Freudian... You don't even want to go there. But you can. Like, believe me, like, the chill that runs up and down my spine, like my mom, you know... She's the age of what you think she is. You know, she was a high school or a college freshman when Sgt. Pepper's came out, right? So like, you know her age. So she'll be here and she'll be like, "Where's my purse? Where I don't know where my purse is." I was like, "I don't know." Like, there's the whole hubbub. Where's the purse? Blah, blah blah. Or her fucking reading glasses. And then it's like right on the fucking chair, right there by the door where you put it, right? And then my wife does the same fucking thing. Like 2 days later, like, "Where's my purse? Where the hell is my purse?" I was like, "Oh god, I have to get out of here. I need to buy a gallon of gas and get hair bleach and a plane ticket."
you're supposed to end up gradually being like your own parent.
Yeah, it wasn't that gradual, man.
Cross,
but not that gradual.
And not gradual. Okay.
So
yeah.
Come on, guys, say something about us. Devin, go.
What are you gonna miss least? About
you're
Matt.
And articulate.
Why is it? Why always pointed at me?
I miss what?
Because he knows how sensitive I am.
What I'll miss least about Matt is his demanding nature.
Yeah.
Talk, damn it. Dance for us, monkey.
The command performances that he is constantly requiring.
I'm a producer. Come on. I'm just a man.
Say something smart. That's like the most pressure-packed sentence ever. You could have been prepared like your dissertation or something. Someone says, "Say something smart," and you're like, That's way too, it's way too much pressure.
People like ice cream.
I don't know what I'm going to say is smart.
The worst thing I could think of to say is Dave is the Neesman of the group.
Ooh!
Ow! Ow!
That was pretty low.
That is Vince.
Thank
you. Now we'll find out if he's actually sensitive.
Matt is Vince, and Jason is David and Jason?
Yep.
I'm not sure. Well, he's Jason by default. That
stands to reason
you'd be Jason, of course.
You're raw, open nerve, and you're also a day trader. So,
wait, if we're doing this, can
you're
I
wildly inconsistent?
If we're doing this, can I be New Mutant? Because that would just be fun.
Well, actually, is New Mutant awake? We could get New Mutant on here.
I would if I knew his.
I don't know his Skype.
Oh, I have him on Skype, and he is registering as on.
Bring it. See if you can get him.
Can you add him?
I will.
Oh my God.
I will see what I can do. Hold on.
I'm gonna give him the
talk to Alan. I would ask you to explain your comment, Jim. Except, I think only the people on this call understand what the fuck we're talking about right now.
No, I saw something on Google that's like top 5 comics podcasts. Like, they're celebrities in their own small, weird niche way.
Very, very small.
Yep.
Weird.
Yep.
So you just compared to a celebrity niche, very small micro.
That's the one that quit though. So he's Chris Neesman.
Well,
in that regard.
I do also drink the most.
I'm actually relieved to find out I'm not Chris Neesman. Because I can be pretty argumentative. Although I do try to let people finish sentences and not make the same argument every time I speak.
Yeah.
Will you be offended if I get another drink?
No.
Okay, good. I'll be right back. You guys keep this up. This is good stuff.
Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Matt's David.
Yeah, maybe so.
I love how this is supposed to be a roast of your show, and we're roasting another show.
Sorry, that was my bad.
Yeah.
I did that. Sorry.
Well,
apparently a much more popular and well-beloved show.
So. We all came from it.
Full of people who don't quit.
That's how we know each other.
Nuh-uh.
It's,
right.
It's only to be expected, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, this whole thing started on a 11 o'clock comics message board.
It is. It's only.
It did. Have we ever told you listeners that? I mean, it's not fascinating, but just it did start as Matt wanted to do just a book group and read specifically literature, which started on that as kind of an offshoot of that comics related forum, which was based around a comics related podcast.
Right.
And then eventually there was kind of a schism there because we were the only ones actually talking about the books from the small group of us, including Jim, occasionally Devin, I think.
Yeah.
And, and then at some point we decided to do a podcast. I'm not even sure how that happened, but.
Yeah. Somebody felt like doing a podcast.
I got loud about it, I guess. But your podcast was over, more or less. Dave used to do a podcast called Mean Dog.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A movie podcast. Yeah, that was like a top 5 kind of deal.
Holy shit, I've been podcasting for like 8 years.
Wow.
That kind of fizzled out around the time. He's like, yeah, I could keep talking about stuff. I could keep making nonsense noises.
I said, as long as I can still be drunk and still have nothing to do with the actual process of releasing a recording and just blab into a microphone, then sure.
Right.
And
that was more or less approved.
Yeah, that has been my contribution on every podcast I've ever been.
And it's been a fucking good one.
Did you guys listen, Devin and Jim? Did you ever listen?
Apparently
to
not. If I'm the fucking niece, man. I'm just kidding.
The very first book that we did, Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Hey, leave Dave alone.
No, we're going with that. Yeah.
I got that fucking
Dave
episode
took that
in my whole chest.
I can be drunk and not pay attention thing a little bit far.
That's true. I have vague recollections of that.
Maybe that's where the Neesman thing comes from. Legendary falling asleep in the podcast.
Well, I knew we were done for when. Well, I knew we had a finite lifespan when Jason didn't drink. I was under the impression when we were starting this that Jason would drink for me. He didn't, so I was like, oh, shit, well, you know, maybe we'll have a good 10-year run like the Beatles. And then Dave quit drinking at some point. I was like, this thing is done for. I can't fucking carry this weight. Too much weight. Too much weight.
But you carried that weight a long time.
I started drinking three times as much. And really,
Yeah.
That's right. So, what were you guys talking about? I hopped on.
Excuse me. What?
You can always mute that. There's a little button. You know what? I'll let Joey worry about that.
Shut up.
I will not be silenced.
I'm not coughing as much as I was last week, thank God.
Yeah, I know. I was counting.
Yeah. I wonder if... So, Devin, are you still there?
Oh, absolutely.
Any no luck with Alan?
No, I sent him a message. He may have just left his Skype on and walked away from his computer / fallen asleep.
People do that.
People do that. Stupid people.
Well, he doesn't fall. He doesn't go to sleep, though. Guy's
yeah, no, that dude stays up.
He was drunk last night. At least he was typing drunk.
Speaking of people who didn't used to drink, I met Alan for the first time when he didn't drink.
Oh, yeah?
And
you've met him?
I have met him in person, yeah.
Is he as awesome in real life as he is?
He's pretty great. He is pretty great. I will tell you very briefly the story of how I met Alan.
Before you start, oh, yes. I just want to say my wife has seen him lip syncing something online. And I've read her many, many tweets, and she's like, when is Alan coming to Portland? Like, how long is he going to stay? Like, she just loves him. Like, he's like a human hug magnet.
Yeah. Oh,
he absolutely is. He absolutely is. I met him, I think in 2010, I was at New York Comic Con, and I walked right by him, and the only reason I knew who he was is because I'd seen his lip-syncing video. And you know, he had known I would be in New York for it, and I'd know, you know, so I was going to keep my eye out for him, and I walked right past him, and I'm like, hey, are you Alan New Mutant? He's like, yes. And I said,
that's about how he'd say it.
I said, I'm Devin, and he looked, he got a little pout on his face, and I said, Dr. Teeth? And he goes, ooh, Dr. Teeth! and then I said, oh, it's so great to meet you. I want to shake your hand. He's like, oh, no, we don't shake hands. We hug.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So yeah, within three sentences of knowing him, I gave him a hug. He is a hug magnet.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go the three sentences with him.
That doesn't surprise me.
If I saw him, I'd just have to give him a hug.
I'll meet him one of these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I asked him on the regular nowadays, fortunately, because we actually he invited me into his D&D group. So I do.
Oh, lucky you.
Do you guys ever have character sex? I don't know. Does that work? Does that happen?
Online?
I don't know.
No.
I don't do that.
Actually, no, I won't get into that.
So, yeah, I asked
it's a little bit of a weird mix. Let's put it that way.
I knew it was something weird. Okay, so I asked him, like, hey, you know, if you ever come to Portland, you got a place to stay, blah, blah, and tour guide. And he's like, yeah, lots of people ask me, like couples ask me to come stay with them, and it's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, no.
Well, I don't know. Renee,
I love you, Alan, but well, maybe.
God forbid, yeah. Made my presence.
Just keep your eyes closed.
Well, you should have made it clear that Renee would not be there that night.
Mm-hmm. Just me and you, buddy.
Just you and him and pictures of feet.
That's right. He's got like a weird thing about feet, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has an anti-foot fetish.
Yeah.
God, and I feel so bad because it's like I somehow end up mentioning it around him, to him, way more than I would think that I would, you know, like, every time I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not doing that on purpose.
But you are.
I'm subconsciously, maybe. I don't know. So what did my co-host read? Anything?
Yeah.
I'm not getting into all this, man.
I'm
you don't have to get into all this.
Listen, man, I don't even want to be here right now.
Welcome to my world.
He's had this stack of books for 6 months or something like that.
Holy shit.
It felt like felt like there was this pressure to get through them all. And so, of course, he reads like 10 for every book he ends up getting to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got this huge stack. Why. So now I've got like a... I started a thread on the forums. I'm actually getting through them now.
Well, I think you should wrap up the rest like the Micro Machines guy from the 80s.
Whoa!
You've heard how I regular talk.
Mm-hmm.
Like speaking of fucking
Cuckoo Baroo,
King Dap. I sound like him with a quaalude. I'm just let me think about my next word. I'm so much more articulate when I can just sit down and write and think.
Your writing is very articulate.
Yeah, so you write good pretty.
Yeah.
Well, this is what 8 years of podcasting gets you, is the inability to complete a sentence. I'm like a fucking squirrel crossing the road. I have to stop in the middle and go, wait, okay, keep going.
I did think that thread you started might create a black hole or something, though, because you started a thread called Book Review. And I was like... Isn't that what this whole thing kind of is? I mean, like, what does that make the all the rest of the forum?
It's an Ouroboros.
It's very specific. Yeah.
We can all hang out precisely on that thread now.
Nobody's got to. I just like having a place. I can talk about this book I read. It's a comic-y book, kind of.
Oh, all right, sweet. He had a southern accent when he introduced the book for the last time.
Yep. It's this is a book called Emmy Town.
Oh, I want
to read it. Cool. Many times.
It's it's not really a comic book. It's as it's called underneath it, a sketch diary. It's That's by amazing. An artist who lives in Portland, actually.
Yeah.
Named Emmy Lennox. It's 400 pages.
Pronounced Annie. Annie
not, Lennox. Not. A totally different person. So, what it is for apparently she did this online for a while, and then Image decided to publish it. Is every day, did a little kind of mini comic about what was going on with her that day. And that's what it is.
I can't believe we're stopping the show. This is bullshit.
Same span of time, you just wrote.
How can we
rob
the world
post.
Of this shit?
This is gold.
This is no. I'm trying to. This is all I have to say about the book because that's really all it is.
You sound like I sound like you. You sound like me. I'm trying to describe art.
That's because this isn't art. This is kind of bullshit. I'm sorry. I hated this fucking thing.
Oh, you did.
Just
okay.
Say that.
All right. Yeah. Just say that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm getting to
Come
it.
Right out and
dance.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's sort
I was
of
waiting to find out if a 400-page book of her daily sketches was going to be anything but terrible.
Yeah. It's so by what's going on in her life. It's usually about a third of the page is dedicated to what she had for breakfast. Usually a coffee, small burrito of some sort.
I'm more irritated.
Likes. Yeah. Then a little bit of grousing about maybe work. In very kind of bland, non-specific ways. In fact, she kind of mentions in her introduction that she took out anything very specific or honest or interesting.
Oh, so it's an illustrated blog. This is the most annoying fucking thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah,
it's
there's
used to be called diaries.
There's terrible song lyrics all throughout it from bands like fucking Coldplay and
Ooh.
Jim Eat's World and
musical what? Herpes.
Yeah. Now I will say, Death Cab for Cutie.
Fuck them.
Yeah. So like.
I like that man.
Fuck.
She does have. I like her art style. The sketches are not. She you know her non art. Or her non-sketchy style, which is sort of very caricatured cartoony-ish, sort of manga cartoony-ish. Her non-sketch style is much more, not photorealistic, but just really good art. And so I will say that the art in here is
is very good. And if you're just interested in, you know, her sketchbook, don't read the words. Dear God, don't read the words, because you will hate the fuck out of these bitches. So I'm just going to flip to a random page and read it, because they're all basically the same.
What kind of burrito does she have that day?
Yeah. Let's see.
Tofu, here. Chorizo, and free-range egg.
Okay, this one actually doesn't cover burritos, but this is from 10/9/2009. There's a bunch of pictures of earrings, different kinds of earrings, and how much they cost.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I went to Kaiser to pick up my magic pills.
What's and did the stroke my feel like?
Target, Target earring clearance section pillage. So fun, so girly. Then there's a little puffy cloud with Michael C. Hall in it.
So it's like shooting flames in my left arm.
Been rewatching Dexter season 2. Oh man, Dexter is awesome.
I'm missing season three. I'm seeing spots.
Yeah. Then it says Medium Friday. No, Medicine Friday, sorry. On Medicine Friday, Jamestown, that's her nickname for her best friend. Jamestown joined Kat, Ron, and I. Also Vicky. She volunteered to roll the balls for strip bingo. My shout-outs were not taken lightly by the stripper. Whoopsie, because it was drunk stripper bingo.
Oh, that's right
about
my house.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's right about my house. It's a devil's point.
Some people
have
like
a mile from me.
Yeah.
A talent for that of making, I don't know, like Julia Wirtz occurs to me. Mm-hmm. Like she can tell little stories about things that happened to her in her life and stuff and make them entertaining.
Right, but she's not just listing off things that happened in her day.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It's like American
not
Psycho.
Not editing it at all, just kind of like, no matter whether something interesting happened that day or not, or whether you have something funny to say about that or not, you just kind of put it all there.
No filter.
It's no like filter. A sketchbook right. version of the lowest common denominator Tumblr page.
Yeah,
it really is. And and apparently that's what she did on purpose. And for some reason, she's right. got a fairly big follow. I mean, like I said, this book was published by Image. Eric Stevenson has raved about her. She's got an introduction by Jamie S. Rich. There's a page from Brandon Graham in here. I'm like, what the fuck am I missing? What am I missing?
I might piss you guys off, but to me, with a few exceptions, that's not that much different than a lot of what Harvey Picard did. Harvey Picard did some interesting things. He did some interesting things. Some interesting things happened to him. But I distinctly remember reading a strip from him one time called Peeling an Orange. And guess what? He peeled an orange.
Right.
And he got like fucking Joe Sacco to illustrate it.
That's one strip.
And all that happens. But he did that a lot.
But he also didn't cut out all the real life stuff that she apparently cut out.
Well, that's true.
Like all the human drama.
Of actually purposely taking out anything that would be interesting.
Right. Did Picard ever just list things like fucking Rain Man? Like the whole like fucking earrings. Like that's where I'm done. Like I'm just filling a page at this point. Like, God. Like at least Picard was pissed off.
Yeah. Far be it from me to say that anyone's social media account is awful, because God knows I've put some tripe up on my Twitter feed. But I didn't publish my Twitter feed.
Right.
And Image didn't fucking publish it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly sort of what I came away from it from, is feeling like I had just read a stranger's Facebook page or something, you know.
I'm so mad about this account. Thing I've never seen.
It sounds like an exercise.
Yeah, I had to push through it.
It sounds like
to get all the way to the end.
Some teacher told her, just make sure you create something every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Just start writing. See what
they didn't hear out. The rest of the lesson, which was, and then call the best of
yeah,
those.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. That was the other thing. Like, pick the best entries, the most interesting ones about buying, you know, how much you spent on toilet bowl cleaner or whatever.
Yeah.
Yes, I said that because I got to that page. That's a real thing in here. I'm just flipping through the book.
It
kind
of reminds me of a really bad Ariel Schrag. Like, you guys know Ariel Schrag? She did, what?
I don't know who that is.
What are you whispering about? She did a bunch of, she was quite young and did a bunch of stuff about her high school years. It's like, one was called Awkward, one was called Definition, one was called Potential, I think. And it had a lot of really kind of raw, unpolished, but interesting stuff about being a teenage girl with all that entails. So very unlike that, in that she didn't cut out any of that stuff. You know, that's mm-hmm. her whole kind of awkwardness and sexual awakening and all that kind of stuff is in there.
Yeah, that's what I was sort of hoping for. I don't mind some of that other stuff being in there, but you got to give me something else. Like, why do I care? You know, and she just really goes out of her way to cut all that stuff out because she's like, because my mom reads it. And I'm like, well, that's your fucking problem. You're an artist. Or you're pretending.
That was her reason?
Yeah, she's like, my mom reads this, so I don't want to talk about who I'm sleeping with. And I'm like, well, that's all anyone wants to read about. Like, or not even, just something interesting besides, like, you went out and went drinking with your friends today, you know, again, and then are mad because you're broke all the time because you got a shitty job. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Do something, say something, make me care who you are as a person. Like, I want to punch you through this book. Like, so bad.
I want to punch you. Care about her as a person then, apparently.
Well, but she really. Took out everything that makes her a person. She
yeah,
took,
I know, right.
It's sanitized. Right.
I know, it was on purpose. That's what pissed me off. Because at first I was going to be like, all right, maybe it's just not my thing. She doesn't have that interesting a life, but decided to share it, whatever. But no, she talks about how she purposely did that. And that pissed me off. I was like, fuck you. Fuck you. It made me really angry.
I'm going to pile on here.
Well, if you do, she's not going to cartoon.
Yeah. What's the opposite of commitment?
Yeah.
Matt.
Then again, we live in a world where we're going to get a Batman television show without Batman. So taking out the most interesting part of a story, I guess,
what?
Is part
Gotham
of
Gotham is not. No? Is not. Oh, come on. You talking about Gotham?
I am 100% talking about Gotham.
That's a good comic.
Yeah, but it's not.
He actually
but
is
it's in not. But it's not Gotham Central. It's what? Gotham. It's Batman Year -2.
What? Ew, that sounds awful.
Am I completely hearing you right? I mean. I assumed it was Gotham Central.
No, Gotham is Bruce Wayne as an 11-year-old boy and a 12-year-old Selina Kyle.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
What? It is before I don't remember who said it, but it's all the stuff about Batman that is so boring they never talk about it.
I know.
They talk about the Peter Parker's orthodontist series that's launching this fall.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
Like the first crime that Gordon works on in Gotham is the murders of Thomas and Martha Wayne.
Well, that makes sense.
Spoiler, they don't solve it.
It's Joe Chill. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. If it was Gotham Central, if they were working in a Gotham City that had Batman and you never saw Batman, that would be an interesting show.
You can make that work.
But it's not. It's Batman doesn't exist yet. It is everything that, you know, like there before the Penguin was
so
a master criminal.
Right.
It's basically Richie Rich without the cool inventions then.
Yeah.
It's like it's just a little because before his parents got killed, he wasn't anything.
Right. Well, he's not the main character. The main character is James Gordon. Bruce Wayne is a secondary character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Listen, so I know this is the series based on
all of his supporting.
Yeah, and Selina Kyle has to be in there too. Yeah.
The keg is tapped. The ice sculpture is set. No one's here yet. Watch this.
Mr. Freeze as a 12-year-old.
Yeah. I know it's not the television hut gentleman, but sorry.
That's okay.
So in you can't go home department, I bought Sandman Overture 1 and 2.
Did Gaiman write those?
Yes, he did.
Who drew them?
J.H. Williams III.
I like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd
want
to read that.
Sandman is huge for me in my personal, you know, like how significant that is in my comic reading history. Like nothing is more significant for me because I most likely would never have read comics as an adult at least in any kind of sustained serious way without Sandman. It wasn't the book that kind of piqued my interest to make me look at what was happening again, but I was clueless about how to like branch out and I was going right back to the well of the things that I'd read when I was much younger, and there was no way it was going to last whatsoever. But then I encountered Sandman. I saw one of those covers, one of those Dave McKean covers, and it was literally one of those things like, I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know that that could be a comic book. It could look like that. And I bought like every issue that the Things from Another World at the time, which wasn't called that, but whatever it was called, had. They were all random issues, just like, you know, 8 different issues from all over the run. And I just read them all. And to say I was blown away is an understatement. So that became a really big early thing and was basically my springboard back into comics. It felt weird. You know, I haven't been buying comics much at all over the last few years, but it felt really weird that a new Sandman comic by Neil Gaiman was out and I wasn't going to read it. And so I bought them. And it's not bad. I mean, it is J.H. Williams III who does his usual phenomenal work. I think he's an outstanding artist, and he doesn't disappoint in this. So it's very, very beautiful, amazing looking. But it's, yeah, I'm only kind of borderline interested in the actual story, what's going on. I always found Sandman interesting in inverse proportion to how much Dream was actually in it.
Yeah.
The storylines that are really about him and focus on him are boring, and he's very, the way he talks is, I don't know, very pretentious and ponderous, and most of the storylines though didn't focus on that. They incorporated all kinds of different folklore, or they were about just ordinary people with, mm-hmm. you know, a Dream might step in. One of my favorite arcs was A Game of You, where mm-hmm. Dream is in it just briefly at the very end. So far though, this is like, you know, Gaiman's idea of doing this big Sandman story after 20 years or however long it's been was to do, I don't know, you know, the biggest possible story that incorporates the most stuff and is like, you know, a world universe threatening thing. And I'm just left a little bit cold by that. Like, oh, I mean, it's flaccid. It's, of course, it was good excuse for J.H. Williams to draw some cool shit, because one of the central things that happens is Dream, as we know him from the comic, and he did quote unquote die and then was replaced by Daniel, who became Dream. So there's two different looks for Dream, but we find that Dream actually looks like an infinite number of aspects throughout the universe, depending on who is, I guess, doing the dreaming. And so you have these wildly diverse looking dreams. They all kind of have in some weird way the same kind of facial features and stuff. But there's literally everything from what looks like kind of like a fish floating in a globe to a giant cat to like a sphinx looking statue thing and all kinds of other stuff. And so again, some eye candy. But it's just not grounded enough and human enough to be interesting to me thus far.
That's a good way to put it, because that is sort of what I think of when I think of Sandman. I remembered it being extraordinarily grounded despite all the sort of dark fantasy and the odd happenings and all the gods floating around everywhere, that they always seemed to have human central characters. And very humanized characters. I think there was a reason why Death was one of the more popular characters from that series. I thought she was way more interesting and popular than Dream, actually. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would agree with you, Jason, that Dream was maybe the least interesting character in his title series.
Yeah, even of the Endless, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit like he's trying to throw a bunch of things in here just because, you know, because this is his most likely one opportunity to do so. To do another, I don't know how long this is supposed to ultimately be, but
I think it's only supposed to be 6 issues.
6? Okay. So you've got Mervyn Pumpkinhead, and you've got Lucien, and you've got, you know, I'm sure we'll see all of the Endless. We've had, Death has been in there so far, Destiny. I think that's it thus far.
Is Destiny's Child there?
Beyonce is. Yeah, Beyonce is Desire, and, So, as of the end of the second issue, they're going to meet their father, whatever exactly that means.
Oh, that's gonna
bum bum bum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I say that just because we never saw who it was, but hopefully it's not going to be one of those moments like, it was Lucifer all along or whatever.
Lucifer. No, they're older than Lucifer. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to be pleased with that revelation either, but I must have admitted to a little bit of curiosity about that.
Mm.
And then also, I'll just mention real quick, I read Optic Nerf. I had to get the Optic Nerf because I've been buying Optic Nerf for... forever.
What's that against? Yeah.
As long as it has existed. Okay. It's Adrian Tomine's.
Oh, okay.
Extremely infrequent and yet oddly regular book. It started as a mini comic with the same title. They were collected into something called 32 Stories, which is, I think, still in print a decade on later. And then he started his regular series, which has always been published by, I think, Drawn and Quarterly, and 13 issues in about 13 years or so. Yeah, something like that.
Takes him forever.
At one point, he had always done short stories. Like, 32 Stories was 32 Stories. They were all short. They were all, like, a couple pages long. And then his regular series started out with about 3 stories per issue. And... that was kind of his form. He never really varied from that, and I liked it fine. He was good at that. But then he did an issue that the story was the full issue, and then he did a story that was 3 issues long. But he didn't work any faster than he normally does.
Yeah.
So it took like 3 or 4 years for that 3-issue story to actually be published. Although, happily, once I finally read it, it was good. Sadly, this 13th issue is the weakest that I can remember. It's a comic that's never let me down, and this is the closest that it's come to letting me down. Although I did like the second story quite a bit. The first story, though, it didn't really work for me. It's called Owls, and it didn't work for me. But he's great. I don't know if... Matt, have you read any?
Never.
Devin, you have, it sounded like.
No, actually, I haven't. No.
Who was that made that noise? Was that Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I've read, except for maybe this newest issue.
And Jim, are you still around? Have you read it?
He fell asleep.
Jim fell asleep!
Pick on him now! He's Neesman.
That James Burton.
He does these stories...
Son of Richard.
That are, they're usually about lonely people is kind of the common thread. They're about people that are kind of on the fringes and they wouldn't necessarily be obviously on the fringes. Like, they have normal looking lives, but they've got some kind of loneliness kind of at the heart of them or something. And, I don't know. He is just, to me, he is one of the best I've ever seen in comics at being able to really get at the heart of pain like that and people like that and the kind of things that happen, almost Flannery O'Connor-esque in that way. Like, and there's sometimes a very simple, you know, like there was a story that was, it was about a man who was blind and he would go to a grocery store regular to shop, and there was a girl who worked there who would always see him coming and would greet him and be really friendly to him and kind of lead him around and help him with his shopping. And he's this lonely old guy and he's blind. And he hears this perky young female voice who always is really outgoing and really friendly with him. And so he thinks, as a lot of people would in this situation, or at least they'd want to think, that she in some way actually cares about him as a human being. And then the end of the strip is simply he's walking down the sidewalk and she's walking down the sidewalk with a friend of hers and they're talking and chatting, and then she sees him and she shushes her friend until he's walked by and is out of earshot, and her friend's like, what was that all about? And she's like, don't trust me, you know? And that just struck, right? And that, and every Adrian Tomine story for the longest time left me going, oh, gut punch, because painful and so fucking true. And not necessarily like, oh, what a bitch, but that's the kind of stuff that people do and happens in the world. And that's where loneliness comes from so often, is stuff like that. It was so achingly real to life, you know, true to life. And yeah, he's a master of that. So if you want to feel fucking depressed, I heartily recommend grabbing some Adrian Tomei and Optic Nerve.
Definitely. How I always in my head, because I have barely read any of either of their work, I always confuse him with Charles Burns. And
very
I'm sure
different.
They could not possibly be more different.
Super duper duper different.
They're very different. Yeah. Yes. Tomei, he tends to have a lot of sameness to his page layouts. I know that. It's usually like these 9-panel grids, which is a lot of why it takes him a long time, I think, to lay out his pages. At least that's what I wrote down. Yeah, yeah. I guess just figuring out the perfect thing to put in this 9-panel grid. So I wouldn't call it super visually interesting, particularly in the way that Burns stuff is, but not visually boring either. It's solid cartooning, and he's drawing very mundane stuff typically. It's just picking the right images and the right expressions and things like that. He's very good at sort of facial expressions and character motions, sort of the acting of drawing. And he really...
There's nothing like flashy about it, but subject matter-wise, it's not the least bit boring if you basically have any interest in the human experience, because he captures that very well. But yeah, it is mundane in the sense that there's, you know, out of the blue kind of things don't happen to people. It's not outlandish. It's not, there's no fantastical elements. There's no real action usually.
Yeah, it's just drawings of people, you know, being in rooms talking.
One other thing about him is he has the weirdest letters page ever.
Really?
Because he has worked in very similar areas for very many years. He kind of, you know, the kind of story that he does is he never does a story that is in any other real genres or anything like that. He's had a lot of critics, and he's had some very interesting critics, and he just prints those without commentary. You know, they're never responded to. And it's just, it's one of the most critical letters pages I've ever seen, and it's been like that for 13 years. It's like, I'll just real briefly, this is this guy, and a lot of times they're written like this. I own several comics that are magnificent demonstrations of how a single issue can accomplish something a book or collected edition or digital comic could not. Unfortunately, I don't think any issue of Optic Nerve meets that criteria. If you plan to continue releasing material in single issue format, I would encourage you to take a look at some current comics like, and he starts listing a bunch.
Oh boy.
And
what are his examples?
His examples are Brubaker and Sean Phillips Criminal, Karen Gillan and Jamie McElvey's Phonogram.
Wait. Let's go back.
Warren
Ellis. Neither of these are single issue. What is he talking about?
Who knows?
These are all
Warren Ellis and Ben Temple Smith's Fell, or Brian Wood and Ryan Kelly's Local.
Well, Fell and Local are pretty good self-contained issues. I'll give him that.
Okay.
Oh, they're all perfectly decent comics.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea that you would take the time to write a letter to somebody who's been doing this for 20 years and say, I don't really think that you are up to the standards for single-issue comics. If you insist on continuing to do that, take a look at these people who actually know how to do it.
Right.
And work,
I was
work
mostly
on that.
Saying, yeah, I was mostly saying in the sense that Fell and Local, each of those individual issues are fairly self-contained, which was his point, I think. I think his point is an awful point.
Yeah.
And
it was just funny to me that the first two was like, those are released in arcs. Those are like 5 and 6 story arcs, aren't
they? Exactly.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really hold up in any way. But anyway.
Do you think he's doing it as a further investigation of self-flagellation and misery? Or do you think he's like, look at the crazy crap I get?
Good question. That's That's possible. I don't know. Because he never, as far as I have ever seen, maybe he's done some interviews. You know, maybe he's been interviewed by the Comics Journal and asked about it or something. But he never replies in the letters pages. And there's no editorializing. His work speaks for itself, and then he puts the letters there. So anything
maybe
else?
Maybe it's a justification for how sad and lonely his characters are. He's like, look, see, they really exist. The people who take the time to write this shit to me. These are the people I write about.
Pretty much.
This guy had nothing better to do than tell me my single-issue comics weren't as good as these other ones.
So far, he's refrained from the urge, if it exists, of taking any of those letter writers and then writing a fictional story about them in a way that would be obvious. Like, here he is. You know, this guy's sitting there writing these letters and narrating them out loud.
I have a question. Isn't he Japanese American? Wouldn't it be Tomine or Tomina?
It's probably Tomine or whatever.
Just curious. Yeah.
I've never heard the name pronounced.
I've always wanted to read. Like, what's a good entry point for a novice?
Any of it really? There's no continuity or anything. Yeah. He's had a couple collections out.
Yeah.
I think one of them was called Summer Blonde. That's the one I remember offhand. So
yes,
that one
Summer
was
Blonde is one of them.
Okay.
Or 32 Stories. That one's good, too.
I wouldn't recommend 32 Stories necessarily. Yeah, I don't know.
That was the first one of his I read, and I loved it. But.
Yeah, me too. But his 32 Story stuff is a little bit more all over the place. Like, some of them are, I still like a lot of them. Like, one of them is about his peanut butter allergy, or peanut allergy, rather.
Right.
Because he's violently, horribly allergic to peanut butter. Some of them are comedic and so on, which is something he really doesn't do after that. There's a couple of stories in 32 Stories that hint at what he was to continue to do. One called Grind, and one that I can't remember the name of, but Dave, you might remember. It's the one where send the letter trying to break up with someone and then immediately regret doing that, and they try to, like, burn it. They try to throw a match into the mailbox.
Oh.
I think it's called Smoke, actually.
Yeah, that's ringing a bell now.
Yeah.
I think I agree with that stuff.
But I don't know. Yeah, me too. So, but Optic Nerve number one definitely gets right into it.
Okay, so my library is offering me... looks like he's written lots of intros to stuff, so like the Yoshihiro Tetsumi collections that were done by Drawn and Quarterly, he's done stuff. But as far as him specifically, Shortcomings and Summer Blonde and Sleepwalk and other stories.
Sleepwalk might be the first one. And then I think Summer Blonde and then Shortcomings. I think so.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. Well, Shortcomings is that,
I think Shortcomings
is that one
was
that
the,
I mentioned, which was the three issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thingy.
Yeah.
Cool.
But like I said, there's no continuity or anything. You can read.
No, I know, but I mean, like, just as far as like a, you know, end to a style.
Sleepwalk
voice.
Is the first four issues. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Check out Sleepwalk.
Yeah. Tell me if it's got the story about the woman letting her car run. Oh God, that's an awesome one. That one hit me hard.
Well, now I'm bummed out.
Why?
You make a suicide story? Like carbon, like monoxide, you
know,
that kind of
thing? No. It's actually not a suicide story.
Oh, that is not at all where I went through. I just assumed he was pissed off at some woman who left her car idling. And that's because I'm Canadian.
Devin's still here.
It's better and more devastating than any obvious thing that you would think of.
Sorry for interrupting.
It's okay. Just loan me a loony for a bag of milk.
I have just put Shortcomings on hold at my local library.
Oh, you beat me to the chase. Sweet.
It's okay. You're nowhere near each other. You can both
finally, in all of these years of doing this, I've finally succeeded in doing something constructive for the world.
Recommending a comic book?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, these guys don't listen to me.
Have you tried autoerotic asphyxiation?
Didn't you ask me that just last week?
I don't think
I remember because I just watched the X-Files where they told Mulder that was how he was going to die.
And it's back.
Matt has brain damage from lack of oxygen. He has a bad short-term memory.
From his autoerotic asphyxiation.
From his autoerotic asphyxiation. That's where I was going. Hey, I'm roasting now. Good, good.
Finally. Good. Finally.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. One more time. Is it Shortcomings or Sleepwalk?
Sleepwalk is the first four issues.
Okay. That's the one I put a hold on.
I'd recommend starting that.
All right. Done deal. So, Devin.
See.
Cry or grovel or whatever, but I need some kind of send-off here. We're definitely, you know, there.
Yeah. Well, I will keep
before you
things...
start though. Before you start,
dance Classic monkey, man. Stop dancing.
save those tears. So Jason plugged the fuck out of his new project. Dave, what are you doing? What's next for you?
I ain't doing anything, man. I'm gonna enjoy that. I'm gonna enjoy not podcasting.
Will you guest occasionally on That's Cool, That's Trash? Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
You could maybe watch a bad movie once in a while.
Yeah, it's not that much work.
Did you watch the trailers for that Wizard of Speed and Time?
No, I haven't checked it out yet.
Wizard of Speed and Time is so good.
Thank you. See?
So, for those of you who don't know, I'm doing another show called That's Cool, That's Trash, and it's a podcast where we watch psychotronic movies, which are weird cult movies online.
Heard all about it.
And we talk about them online on Skype, but we also get our shit together and make jokes, like actually write jokes for movies like Mystery Science Theater, and we do that through riffrax.com. And we have a new one coming out next week for Invasion of the B-Girls, a 70s sex sci-fi horror movie, which I think you'll really dig.
B-E-E-Girls.
Yes, B-E-E. Yes. We had a blast doing it. I think we kicked ass on our first one that we did. But at any rate, and the podcast is way more lax and laid back and chatty like this. And we play clips from the movies and we just kind of talk back and forth. But we're going to have our Devin Bruce on there within a month or so. He'll be on there talking about a movie called Hard Rock Zombies.
Oh, man. I am excited for that trailer. And oh, man, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I watched the first 20 minutes or so and blew my mind. So I can't wait to talk to you about that. But
can I just say customer testimonial, Bloody Pit of Horror. Anyone who has was it $2.99, $3.99?
$2.99.
$2.99 American gets you the Bloody Pit of Horror riff that That's Cool, That's Trash guys did, and that is some funny stuff.
Thank you very much.
Agreed, it was very good.
I can't wait for you to see the next one. I feel like we improved exponentially.
Ooh, oh, good. You're excited.
We kicked this thing's ass. Seriously.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Well, the preview looked good.
Thank you. Yeah.
You put a preview up on our Goodreads group.
Yeah, I did. You can go to YouTube or you can go to thatscoolthatstrash.com and find a preview of the episodes coming out this week. So, anyway.
Cool.
Looking forward to talking to Devin on the show. And anybody who likes bad movies, I hope you follow us. You can do it through iTunes or whatever.
Is this a Canadian movie?
Which, Hard Rock Zombies?
Uh-huh. No.
Or
no,
B-Girls?
Isn't.
Hard Rock Zombies.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. It's an American
The upcoming film. Episode of the show, though, is The Peanut Butter Solution from 1985, which is French-Canadian. And I took an extreme exception to this. Remember me during like the cuckoo? What the fuck was the book we wrote? The goddamn, I hated it.
The Tom Robbins
Still Life of Woodpecker.
Yeah. Tim Robbins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that of bad movies.
I remember that movie.
You've seen it?
I have. God. Isn't that the one where the kid like smears peanut butter over his head?
Yes. God, it's terrible. Yeah.
Back in like the early days of HBO, they used to show that fucking thing on a loop. Back when they had like four movies because they were brand new.
I remember those days, but somehow I missed that.
I'd rather watch a snuff film like on a loop than watch this fucking movie again. Like I was so pissed off like that Scott picked this movie that like I made the sound clips and didn't name them, which I normally name them and order them, and like I didn't like. Oh God, it's terrible.
You were just so unmotivated.
I was pissed off. Yeah,
that was your rebellion. Mm-hmm.
There's totally a scene where the kids like go into a bar wearing shitty 80s sunglasses and order milk on the rocks.
No.
See, no, I don't see anything.
Am I thinking of a different movie now?
Yeah, that's a different movie.
So what was this movie? I'm confusing him. Anyway, I remember the thing about the peanut butter smearing.
I don't know. That sounds like something else. Monster Squad? Ghoulies 2?
They don't smear peanut butter on his head?
Oh, they do.
Yeah, because he goes bald.
Yeah, but right? The part about the bar didn't happen.
Oh, the milk thing. Yeah, I'm probably confusing that with something else. Mm. That's horrible. Also from that time period.
Yeah, this is terrible. I'm actually getting angry talking about it. So,
this is selling me on listening.
No, we had a good time with it. There's lots of laughing.
I like to listen to people just rip the shit out of terrible things. That's fun.
Listen, we did that not 40 minutes ago.
Yeah,
we did.
We did with Emmytown. Emmytown. Yeah, unfortunately, one of us had actually read that. It didn't stop the rest of us.
No, I was all excited about that because my comic shop was really behind it and had a launch party and this and that. And I was like, well, apparently, you know, this cool arty comic shop's behind it. But so was Image, and it doesn't seem to mean shit.
They featured it at Powell's a lot, too. They'd have it on, like, the end caps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel a little bad now because I don't want to shit all over somebody who's, you know, trying to release something indie or whatever, but say something, goddamn.
She didn't try. So you're off the hook.
Yeah. You know the best part of this fucking book? I'm not going to let off the best part of this fucking thing is it's volume one. There's like,
oh my God, what?
Oh, no. Yeah, like this
is
only.
She didn't die at the end of the year, so of course it's volume one.
I'm like, what else could?
Well,
you
I thought
have
there'd
to
be
say?
Like a new 52, and like she would like have a slightly different outfit and one issue.
There's going to be a 60 volume set by the time this shit's over.
Oh God.
She's going to start cataloging her stool samples and. Tampons as she fucking removes them.
Yeah, I usually like don't care at all about sales, but I'd be really interested to see sales on volume one and sales on volume two.
Everybody was investing in their futures with this one. It's like spawn number one.
Mm.
Boy, are they gonna be surprised in a couple of years, right? It's all speculative. Whee! All right, guys. We have fucked the dog for a long time. Mm. I've been fucking the dog for a couple years with you.
Mm-hmm.
We did a good job. That dog is pregnant with ideas and jokes.
I am going to miss Matt's crappy analogies. You just have no idea.
That's a weird bit of whatchamacallit. It's late. I just saw an x-ray of a pregnant dog. That's what I'm thinking about.
Sure. Yeah.
Will you Google that instantly?
Synchronicity. Synchronicity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Weird bit of synchronicity.
Yes.
No, I see.
My vet posted it on Facebook, and for some reason, my wife is friends with him and showed me. It's disturbing to see an X-ray of a pregnant dog. It doesn't. It looks kind of like you imagine it might look. Actually.
A little swelled up dog.
Dave is actually free associating. I think this is a good time to back out. Jim, are you awake?
Sir. Just
he is. Okay.
It's late out here on the East Coast.
Yes, it is.
No, we know.
Isn't it, Dave?
We want to let you off the hook. Tell Jason
why
he sucks, just real quickly.
I don't think we have time for that, do we?
Start with his balls.
He's going to have to think for a long time to come up with something.
All right. What do you want to say to us? We're leaving.
Well, we might. Another thing that's terrible about Matt, though, real quick before we leave.
Or another Mattism. Yeah.
He's got a whole list of those.
Oh man, when I hit AA, my list is gonna be so fucking long.
Thank you guys. Then I gotta apologize
to Emmytown, and I gotta apologize to Jeff Johns, and I gotta apologize to the whole fucking thing.
Never apologize to Jeff
Johns.
Dave, Emmy Lennox is going to be at Heroes Con. I'll be there next month. Is there anything you need me to pass on to her?
Sweet.
Dave's
to make
send
up
you,
to make
Dave's,
up for the Niesman thing.
Dave's going
to
send you a jar full of farts. He's going to ask you to release that in her face and say, "Write shit."
Pull out a tape recorder and just play a choice little section from the podcast, and then turn it off and walk away.
first buy a tape recorder, then record the podcast.
What?
That's a lot of stuff.
Oh boy.
Thank you guys for
You can tell her I think her art is really good, and if she ever has anything to say, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a very politic way to do it.
Find someone else's stuff to illustrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
the interesting friend?
Jim.
That?
Do you want to do that thing, you know, at the end of like Wizard of Oz where it's like, oh, you were my favorite, or you know, whatever. I don't want to put pressure on you, but just, you know, do some kind of thing.
It would be like choosing my favorite child, although I do have a favorite.
Yeah, they made a movie called it's called Social Choice.
What?
Do it.
I'm not telling them which one it is.
That's a secret Jim and I will take to our graves.
Thank you.
All right.
I just want to say thank you guys for a couple of years of really great listening. It's been a lot of fun hearing you guys and Devin and Jim Nelson and Rob and Emily and
Here's to all the guests.
Everybody.
Yes.
Richard,
it's here. It's Yepa.
Rob and Yepa.
Yepa, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else there. Jen.
Oh, yeah.
We had Jen on for that awesome episode.
True. Right, and Renee and Athena for their cameos.
Yes, yeah.
And that's like head raping cat. That was my favorite.
He'll do that.
So
I had this squalling child outside my apartment. That was my cameo.
So really, all I wanted to say, guys, was thank you very much for all that. It's been a blast.
Thank you, Jim, for listening. Thank you, thank you for being a guest and a friend.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. I'm going to sign off because it's midnight here, and
good night.
My alarm is going to go off at 4, whether I like it or not.
Oh my
God!
Wow.
You are amazing. A very good friend.
Even more.
That's all right.
Thanks for being on, Jim. We love you. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank
about
you for having me, guys.
Take care.
All right.
See you.
Adios.
Bye, Jim.
Oh, hi, Athena. Yeah. Do you want to say goodnight to Devin?
She's good night.
Good night.
He said good night back.
I know.
All right. So we actually got everything. We have a royal flush here. We have Jim saying good night. Mm-hmm. Athena Renee cameo. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get mine.
Renee, do you want to say bye?
I love the Bookhouse Boys. This is hard.
I've never heard an episode, but I'm totally broken up. Go on.
Okay, my husband's an ass. Don't listen to him.
Wow.
She was just about to start.
So she loved that hour and a half of free time that she got to watch her shows.
Pretty Thursday much. Nights. Yeah. I think that's when she watched Extra, where the fuck it is that I would bitch about if I were downstairs.
Please.
Mm. Slubutards. So, Devin.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on tonight. I can't express how much we didn't have anything to say to each other anymore.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting me crash.
It was not a crash, man. It was a welcome. It's like you know when like you don't want to make love to your cousin, and then like the other cousin comes and lays down in bed between you and that cousin, and you're like, ooh, thank God, because now I don't have to have sex with that cousin. You know that feeling?
I do.
I'm just trying to live up to Dave's. Dave hates my analogies, or Jason does. So, it's like that. You know.
Yeah.
Thank God you were here, because we were looking at each other and just fondling our genitals and like, what happens now? And then you showed up, and it was awesome. And,
listen, as the weird Canadian cousin, I am more than happy to prevent you guys from sleeping with each other.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear. That's all I've ever wanted. That's why I started this show.
I'd like to say a couple things, and then I will bow out so you guys can close off the show, you know, in the Bookhouse Boys fashions.
I think I'd like to leave before you do that.
Fuck
okay.
you.
Well, no, I'm gonna do my best to roast.
You'll like it.
Oh, okay.
My best to roast. Thanks, guys. It's been a great 3 years when I bothered to show up. Mm-hmm. And without you guys, I would never have read Faulkner, so thanks a lot for that.
Thanks for starting at the beginning.
Did you get to the good shit, though, yet?
knows more about mosquitoes than he ever cares.
Oh, my God.
But whenever you eat grapefruit, you'll think of us.
Yes, it's true. It's true. You guys rock. Thanks so much. And if I leave, don't start fucking each other.
All right.
Can
you mention something about your show?
Shows. Oh. He's got a couple.
Scotch and Comics.
Yeah.
This is the other one that he does more now, I think.
Yeah, I have been on Scotch and Comics hiatus for a while, although I am trying to figure out a way to do that. But I have two podcasts, one that is slightly regular. It's called The List Makers, where my friend Kim and I make lists about things that we like or don't like or whatever.
Like breakfast cereals. I just listened to that one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it's thanks for pointing out the most interesting thing that we've talked about.
It was an impressive amount of information about it.
Yeah, we basically just pick a list of whatever it is we want to do. So we've done our favorite breakfast cereals. We've done our least favorite expressions. We've done celebrity crushes. We've done
Shape of Combs.
Yeah, Shape of Combs is coming out next Tuesday, I think.
Oh, okay.
Can people suggest topics?
Absolutely. We are not very interesting, and we would love other people to suggest topics.
So nipple types would be something you could talk about.
Absolutely. We will release a secret nipple episode, and we will send it to you so you can play it on your tape player.
Fine. I'll sober up and suggest something real. God, you're so demanding.
And then the other podcast that I do is Irregular and infrequent, but it is called Scotch and Comics, where I drink scotch and read comic books and I talk into a microphone.
Which I love.
That thing is a beautiful thing.
I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. You saying that you love it right now, and Peter Rios saying that he is finally caught up and wanted to know when we would get together to talk about Transmetropolitan makes me kind of just want to do that show every day now.
Really?
Yeah, no kidding.
Listen to you all special.
Yeah. So
I never listened to Comic Geek Speak, but even I have a sense of the hugeness of that. You just hit the big time.
Yeah.
So feel good about that. So I will probably try and have all you guys on at some point in the relaunched Scotch and Comics, even Dave.
Even Dave.
Well, he likes comics again now, so.
Yeah.
No, listen, I would love Dave. I would love Dave to be on the show if he would want to be on the show. Oh, yeah.
Give him some time.
I think Dave's in a one-off kind of space. I think he'll enjoy guesting. Yeah. I just don't think he wants to be committed to anything.
Absolutely.
If I may speak for him.
May he, Dave?
Yeah. He may.
From now on.
And often does.
And he is my bitch. And I say
on the internet.
I say it, so, yes.
Cool.
All right, Devin.
So sayeth we all.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For doing what you did tonight and just kind of being a buffer.
You know? I'm happy to do it. Yeah. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to get out of this bed.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. I'll talk to you soon on the other show.
Talk to you soon.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
You too.
Okay. Wow. I just got a lot more American here. All right, guys. What do we say? How do you end this 3-plus-year trek of nonsense?
You say, hey, we're talking about Faulkner next time.
Fade to black.
Dave, you do it.
Soprano style.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about William Faulkner, Sound and the Fury next show. It should be released. We're going to record that on the 29th, so it'll be released shortly thereafter. And we're going to... Why did you say and?
We're going to have special guests on that show, too. We're going to have William Faulkner... Okay. And we're going to have Quentin Compson.
The and was actually, I was hoping Jason would say, and we will continue to live on the Goodreads page with the...
you said that already, but...
Sometimes
in case you're listening to this backwards, we are also...
Paul is dead. Paul is dead.
I should watch that documentary just to laugh at people. Goodreads page is going to live on, maybe, if anybody posts on it.
I will.
So it's if you go to the Goodreads site, which is, you know, goodreads.com, search for groups, Bookhouse Boys. It's specifically groups, then you'll find us. And we'll continue to make that a home away from home. Talk about books that we're reading there. Express yourself in writing. I'll try to remember how to do that again.
Right. So we're kind of transmuting ourselves into the internet again, just as text instead of talking. So we're not going to be, doing the book of the month type of thing or whatever, but we'll, that's a place to talk about what else you're reading or do book reviews like Dave started, which is a great thread. You can talk about what else you're watching, what you're listening to, whatever. Like for us, it's a, we're virtual friends for the most part. So, I've never met Dave. I've met Jason many times, but, many of us have never actually met in real life, and that's a great place for us to all stay in contact. So if you use the podcast as a point of contact with us, a one-way point of contact, please go to the Goodreads page and chat with us there. We'd love to keep that going on and make it two-way. So.
And Matt likes three ways, too.
Right. I'm open.
If you have cousins, bring them along.
I'm open, man. So.
He's all love.
To be serious, those folks out there who have not participated in our page, thank you so much for listening over the last few years. We've had a great time talking about books, being assholes and treating each other like shit occasionally and loving each other passively and aggressively. I'm glad you were here for the ride. We appreciated every listen. And it's going to be a bummer to see it go, but it's a good time to go.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to say anything before we sign off?
No.
I will say, just because I think that she'll respond to this, I'm disappointed Emily wasn't on the last show. Emily, I'm disappointed in you.
I was hoping she would see that. And But Emily, come visit us on the page.
Yeah, please. Anyway.
We were her favorite book podcast.
Fuck the audience.
That's what she told us.
Dave, Jason, I've had a great haul with you guys. I really, I've loved every minute of it. Even when you've been infuriating, which you mostly are. I've loved every fucking minute.
Goes without saying.
Yeah.
No, you know, we hit it off almost immediately when we met as virtual friends on the 11 o'clock forum. That was a fairly big place. Hundreds of people posting on a regular basis when it started, when we started. And we gravitated toward each other. And kind of saw, you know, some commonalities there. And we were very different people, but just in a certain amount of, like, I don't know. Just whatever makes friends friends, I guess. How we see the world, how we like to talk about things, what we like to talk about. So... It grew from there into this, and it's not going away. I consider you guys friends for life. So this was just one little fun part of it. I did enjoy the podcast a lot. I enjoyed doing it with you guys. Time marches on.
Yeah.
Like Matt said, thank you all for listening, whether we have ever spoken to you or not. It was very gratifying that anybody would ever want, and a little bit perplexing that anybody would want to listen. And it's been a lot of fun. I look back with some pride at the list of books that we covered and the diverse topics that we talked about. We had some crap shows too, but I think we also did justice to some things, and it's a decent little list looking back. It's an okay body of work.
I look back with pride.
Dave just looked back with vomit.
Dave,
we'll let him get out of here.
I'm gonna go ahead and let you say one last thing and then we'll sign off.
Bye.
Jesus Christ. This is why we can't have nice
He wasn't
things.
Quitting about kidding about
for,
not being
See you for Faulkner.
The sun, the shrouded in cloud. Jones.